thousands of people take to the streets in the Pakistani city of Karachi to voice their support for Palestinians and condemn the Israeli atrocities in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Israeli settlers backed by Israeli regime forces stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in occupied Jerusalem on foot. Iran's president says Tehran continued talks with the signatories of the 2015 nuclear deal in Vienna until a final agreement is reached. Thanks so much for being with us. First story this hour takes us to Pakistan, where people there in the city of Karachi have held a demonstration to show their solidarity with Palestinians and to condemn Israeli atrocities against them. Demonstrators chanted anti-Israel slogans calling for an end to the regime's occupation of Palestinian land. Similar protests were also held in other parts of the world in support of the Palestinians. In the British capital of London, scuffles broke out between police and protesters in front of the Israeli embassy. People also staged rallies in the U.S. city of San Francisco, the Lebanese capital of Beirut, as well as the French capital, Paris. They celebrated the victory of Palestinians in the face of the recent deadly Israeli aggression against the besieged Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, authorities in the Gaza Strip are assessing the damage to residential buildings caused by 11 days of Israeli airstrikes and shelling on the besieged Palestinian territory. Officials say their assessment include over 1,100 buildings, which have been flattened completely in the Israeli bombing campaign. They say 900 buildings were also severely damaged and are beyond repair, while another 15,000 sustained varying degrees of damage. Officials say government offices in the Gaza Strip will release the request for removing the rubble. They say they are facing a lack of funds and equipment in their rubble removal process.
We are faced with many difficulties in the clearing work. The first is the risk that the damaged buildings might collapse. The second is the lack of equipment, including more manual and mechanical equipment like excavators and rammers. A lot of the equipment available here are old and unsafe for workers.
Gaza officials also say they are searching for possible bodies of victims still under the rubble. Israeli war in Gaza ended after a ceasefire came into effect early on Friday morning. At least 279 Palestinians were killed, including 69 children, since May the 10th. The United Nations has called for an end to the Israeli blockade on Gaza.
The recent Israeli aggression against the besieged Gaza Strip began on May 10th, after the Israeli regime attacked worshippers in Al-Aqsa Mosque and started eviction plans of the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in the occupied East Jerusalem Al-Quds. This wasn't the first time the besieged territory came under Israeli fire. However, this time Palestinians turned the tables against the regime and launched unprecedented rocket and drone attacks on Israeli cities, inflicting damage and casualties on the enemy. Finally, after 11 days of brutal Israeli attacks that killed at least 279 Palestinians, including 69 children, the occupying regime announced a unilateral ceasefire on Friday, which was accepted by Palestinian resistance groups with Egyptian mediation. People in the besieged Gaza Strip and the occupied West Bank hailed the truce as a victory for Palestinian resistance groups in the face of Israel's attacks. The 11-day-long Israeli aggression resulted in the displacement of over 90,000 Gazans and the destruction of Gaza's critical infrastructure and many civilian buildings. International NGOs and Gaza officials say several hospitals and schools, as well as power and sewage plants, have been severely damaged. The Red Cross says that Gaza could take years to rebuild. Moreover, Palestinian lawyers say the Israeli army's use of live fire and rubber-coated bullets from short range against Palestinian demonstrators is a war crime.
Israel
Meanwhile, Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki has sent a letter to the International Criminal Court's prosecutor's office, including documents on new and ongoing crimes, calling for an investigation into Israel's war crimes in Gaza, West Bank, and Jerusalem al-Quds.
I think that now, following the horrific damage that Israel did, wherein it targeted homes, medical centers, press buildings, these are all in blatant violation of international law. And much as Israel liked to say that Hamas had some presence there, there is no evidence to support that. So I think this time, with an investigation about to begin regarding possible war crimes that Israel committed in 2014, I do believe that these will be added to it.
Iran's leader Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei congratulated Palestinians on their victory against Israel, saying, quote, the savage enemy will realize that it is incapable of facing Palestinians' united uprising. The leader said all Muslim nations have a responsibility toward Palestinian cause and must support the Palestinian people honestly.
Following a ceasefire between Tel Aviv and Palestinian resistance groups, after 11 days of Israel's deadly war on the Gaza Strip, Hamas and the military wing of the Islamic Jihad movement, Al-Quds Brigades, thanked Iran for its unwavering support for the Palestinian resistance, saying Iran is a partner in the victory against Israel. Iran's leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, congratulated Palestinians for their victory against Israel. Ayatollah Khamenei noted that Palestinians' resistance left the Zionist regime with no choice but to request a ceasefire.
The regime's defeat was manifested both in its continued crimes and its request for a ceasefire. The Israeli regime was forced to concede defeat.
The Iranian leader noted that the Israeli regime will get weaker than what it is today, while the preparedness of resistance forces will make Palestine stronger day by day. He also called on the entire Muslim nations to feel responsible for the Palestinian cause.
Muslim governments should enter the scene with sincerity to support the Palestinian nation, whether by boosting their military might or lending financial support. This is required more than ever before for the reconstruction of the infrastructure and repairing the damage done to Gaza.
Ayatollah Khamenei emphasized that the crimes Israel committed during its latest onslaught should not be left unpunished. He said Israeli authorities, particularly Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, must be brought to justice in independent international tribunals.
The defeat will indirectly do that because Israel has seen, the Israeli government has seen that it no longer has the level of support around the world that it once believed it had. People spoke up in the streets. There were mass demonstrations in support of Palestine around the world. Many governments, although they were critical of Hamas, unjustly critical, they were also critical of Israel. This is new. Israel no longer can do whatever it wants with complete impunity.
Israel launched an offensive on the Gaza Strip and approved a ceasefire without any preconditions or strategic breakthrough. This means the Palestinian resistance has taught Israelis an important lesson, and that is the Israeli enemy is incapable of facing Palestine's united uprising.
Israeli settlers backed by Israeli forces have stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound on the third day of a ceasefire that ended an 11-day aggression on the Gaza Strip. The settlers were directly allowed by the Israeli military into the compound, which is normally closed to non-Muslims. Our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandu, brings us more.
What's happened this morning is that dozens of Israeli settlers raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque after the morning Fajr prayers with the, of course, the protection of Israeli forces. We are speaking about some 125 Jewish settlers raided the Al-Aqsa complex in groups. The Israeli forces have deployed more forces around the Al-Aqsa Mosque and in Jerusalem, Al-Quds Old Town, in order to prevent Palestinians who are under the age of 45 from entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque, in order to prevent them from standing against the Israeli settler raids to the Al-Aqsa Mosque complex. Of course, the Israeli forces attacked the Palestinian worshippers there. They first arrested four guards of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They released three of them. However, they are still holding one of the Palestinian guards of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Three Palestinians were also detained who were among the worshippers. There are calls for more raids by the Israeli settlers. They raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque from Al-Maghariba Gate. This Maghariba Gate is closed by keys who were owned by the Israeli forces since the occupation of Jerusalem, Al-Quds, the eastern part, in 1967.
A political analyst, Gada Karmi, says the latest ceasefire between Israelis and Palestinians will fail to address the fundamental issue in the occupied territories.
It's not as if this is the first time we had dealings with Israel where there has been a ceasefire, particularly with Hamas, Israel is not bind itself to any promise, really. So it's not surprising. Of course, they will go on attacking Palestinians in Jerusalem, even if they're not doing it in Gaza, and they'll do the same in its territories. So nobody should be at all surprised. See, the ceasefire is not going to deal with the fundamental problem. It only stops fighting. The assault on the Al-Aqsa Mosque is absolutely shocking. They did it during Ramadan, and they actually threw gas canisters into the mosque where people were praying. I don't know how much more sacrilege they can actually commit. But you see, this is, if you like, a particularly bad assault on Israel's part. But I frankly tell you, it again, not surprising.
Iran's president says his country will continue negotiations to restore the 2015 nuclear deal until a final agreement is reached. Hassan Rouhani said the United States has clearly declared its readiness to remove the sanctions as per the nuclear deal. He also highlighted Iran's victory in the economic war imposed by the U.S. Rouhani said Iran's output rise in various industrial sectors is the best testimony to the futility of the U.S.'s maximum pressure campaign against the country. He stressed that the failure of those policies has even been acknowledged by the Americans themselves. The former U.S. administration pulled the country out of the nuclear deal in 2018, imposing what it called the toughest sanctions ever against Iran. After a year, Iran also began scaling back its commitments under the deal. Iranian intelligence forces have dismantled three terrorist groups and seized large amounts of explosive devices as well as weapons from them. According to the intelligence ministry, one of the groups was responsible for the killing of a teenager and injuring several others in the March attack in the southeastern province of Sistan, Baluchistan. All members of the group were arrested. The ministry said members of another Europe-based terror team were detained in the same province. They had planned to attack religious centers there. Also, two members of an armed network planning terror raids were killed in northwestern Iran. The intelligence ministry has said the countries that provide a safe haven for terror groups must be held accountable. South Korean President Moon Jae-in has visited the White House to talk with U.S. President Joe Biden. The two said they were in agreement on important policy toward North Korea, and diplomacy would play a leading role without sharing much of the details. Meanwhile, in South Korea, large forum discussed various specifics on a path toward peace for the Korean Peninsula and ways the two states could work together. Frank Smith brings us more. from South Korea.
As President Joe Biden hosted South Korean President Moon Jae-in at the White House Friday, where the two leaders confirmed their alliance and common approach to North Korea.
Our two nations also share a willingness to engage diplomatically with the DPRK, to take pragmatic steps that will reduce tensions as we move toward our ultimate goal of denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
President Moon made no secret of his desire to see the U.S. and North Korea engaged in talks.
Recently, the Biden administration concluded its North Korea policy review, building on past agreements, including the Singapore joint statement, while taking a calibrated and practical approach to seeking diplomacy with North Korea. It's indeed a welcome direction of the Biden administration's North Korea policy.
Meanwhile, in South Korea, a two-day live and online conference brought together 100 experts to discuss how to bring peace to the Korean Peninsula. U.S. President Joe Biden has admitted that previous American policies toward North Korea and denuclearization had failed, but his administration has been hesitant to provide specifics about its new policy. Here at the DMZ Forum, there was no shortage of detailed suggestions calling for a peace-first approach. The central theme involved ideas to develop the border areas along the heavily fortified DMZ, the demilitarized zone, separating the two Koreas.
When inter-Korean exchanges become more active, shipping networks such as KTX, GDX, and high-speed rail can be developed along the West Coast. Seoul and Pyongyang can form a grand vision for the Korean Peninsula, which will make the northwestern region very different from now.
Panelists also discussed security issues, with several speakers suggesting compromise would be required from North Korea on denuclearization and from the United States on sanctions relief for DMZ peace plans to move forward. Frank Smith, Ilsan, South Korea.
And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
A diverse range of programs. Youth. Spirituality. Culture. Eastern Tales, Roundtable Discussions, Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
drawing. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday of spring, May 23rd, 2021. I'm Atap Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is your program. It's your views that are important. So don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and for your information, as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, and as I have repeated for several times during different editions of Listeners Special, these reception reports are very useful to us in IRM English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. As you may know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving EQSL card from us. Yes, EQSL card from us. As you know, after the coronavirus pandemic, we've decided to design and prepare EQSL cards, and that's because of hygienic protocols. So please wait. Yes, wait for my colleagues to send you EQSL cards, and that's good news. And I think some of our dear listeners have recently received those QSL cards from IRM English Radio. Here, I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Malik Zaroon from Pakistan, Don Glaka from the U.S., and M. Abdul Razak from Bangladesh, one of our regular listeners. Malik, Don, and Abdul Razak, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRB English Radio. Also, many thanks to those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program I will read their emails and letters, including Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. Eddie Witanto from Indonesia is one of our regular listeners who have sent us an email. Also, Igor Kolke from Russia, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Hasna Manzil from India has sent us an email. Avinash from India, yes, Avinash has sent us an email. And Ali Hassan from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Many thanks for sending us this these really inspiring messages. So please be with us in Listeners Special. After a short break, I will be back with these kind messages, and I will read them, yes, after the music. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Indonesia. This email is from Eddie Witanto. Eddie Witanto is one of our regular listeners who says, "Firstly, let me send you my greetings from Jakarta. Thank you for your email. Almost every day I tune in to the IRIB English Radio because a variety of topics and issues about Iranian culture and society are presented in the programs, and they are very interesting. Best regards from Indonesia." Oh, well, salam and warm greetings to you, Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. We are very happy that our signals are heard in Jakarta, Indonesia, the capital of Indonesia. We are so happy that you tune in to IRB English Radio every day. That's good news. And you said it's because the variety of topics and issues about Iranian culture and society, and of course politics, presented in the programs, and we are very happy that you found them very interesting. We are happy that you're enjoying the program. So please, Eddie Witanto from Indonesia, tell us which programs you like the best, and totally tell us your views about these broadcasts. That's, as you said, you tune in to them every day. That's an honor, Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. Many thanks for writing this really inspiring and encouraging message to IRIB English Radio. Please write to us soon. Wish you all the best. Stay safe and healthy. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. And from Russia, we have an email from Igor Kolke. Igor Kolke is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, I am a shortwave radio listener from Moscow, Russia, and I am currently having a great pleasure of listening to your broadcast. I very much hope it is possible for you to verify this reception report by issuing a QSL card or EQSL card. Thank you for your excellent broadcast. I really enjoyed it, and I hope to hear from you soon and would love to receive a verification card from you to add to my collection." And warm greetings to you, Igor Kolke from Russia, one of our old listeners. We are very happy that our signals are heard in Moscow, in Russia. And of course, we have a great pleasure to have you as a listener. Many thanks for writing this email to us. And as you explained, yes, it is possible for us to send you EQSL card. As you may know, after a long period of time of not sending our dear listeners QSL cards because of hygienic protocols due to coronavirus pandemic, now my colleagues are sending our dear listeners EQSL cards. Yes, you can receive the EQSL card and add it to your collection. Ah, Igor Kolke, why don't you tell us your views about our programs? Please, in your upcoming emails, tell us which programs you like the best. Tell us your attitude toward our programs, our broadcast, and we will be happy to receive more emails and letters from you from Russia reflecting your views about IRIB English radio programs. Many thanks again for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I'm here with kind emails and letters from around the world. And here I have an email from Hasna Manzil from India, who says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I am a listener of worldwide radios, and this time I had a chance to listen to IRIB English Radio based in Tehran, Iran. I would love to listen to your radio regularly, so please send me the frequency guide of your station with complete details of the programs. I shall be very grateful if you do it. Thanks and regards." And salam and warm greetings to you, Hasna Manzil from India. It seems that you've already joined us in IRIB English Radio and you've already listened to our programs. So you are a listener of worldwide radios. It seems that you listen to many radios around the world, and this time you found IRIB English Radio in Tehran, Iran, as you said. Yes, it's an honor to have you with us. So please keep in touch. Continue this relationship. Please tell us which programs in IRIB English Radio you like the best. Tell us your views about our programs and about your request about the frequency guide of our station with complete details of the programs. Let me tell you one thing. You can refer to our website. Yes, these these details are available at the website at www.parstoday.com/en. There you can find the frequency guide of our station with complete details of the programs. Many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio, Hasna Manzil from India. And please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We are waiting. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Hasna Manzil from India. And again, from India, yes, we have another email from India. This email is from Avinash. Avinash from India says, "Dear IRB English Radio staff, thanks for your reply to my reception. I have a suggestion, and that is IRIB can design EQ cells featuring the rich heritage and culture of Iran, as well as the Iranian architecture, landscapes, personalities, Iranian cuisine, sports, etc. It would be great if you can send me the new IRIB frequency schedule by email, so that I can tune in to the new frequencies of IRIB and report the quality of reception." Oh, well, salam and warm greetings to you, Avinash, from India, and warm thanks to you for sending this encouraging and inspiring email to IRIB English Radio, and many thanks for reflecting your views about IRIB English Radio and giving us a suggestion. That was a nice suggestion. Yes, my colleagues have prepared the EQSL cards, but you suggested that we can have the featuring of the rich heritage and culture of Iran. As you said, with the Iranian architecture, landscapes, personalities, Iranian cuisine, sports. Oh, well, it seems that you know a lot about Iranian culture and heritage. As you said, you mentioned some of the most important features of Iran as landscapes, architecture, Iranian cuisine. Oh, by the way, have you ever tested Iranian cuisine? It seems that you've tested, because you are talking about it in your suggestion. That's nice. Avinash from India, you can wait for an EQSL card from our colleagues. Yes, it was a great honor to have this email from you and have this suggestion from you, Avinash from India. Many thanks for writing this email to us. Write to us soon. Wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. Guess what? We have an email from Bangladesh. This email is from Ali Hassan from Bangladesh. Ali Hassan says, "After a long time, I started listening to your station again. Now, I am one of your regular listeners. I love to listen to radio programs. I am collecting news about Bangladesh and the whole Indian subcontinent by listening to your radio programs and from the website. It helps me update and improve my knowledge. Please send me your program schedule. Radio listening and collecting postcards are my favorite hobbies. Also, I would love to receive some souvenir from you, such as QSL cards, postcards, or other items that you send to your listeners. Thanks." And salam and warm greetings to you, Ali Hassan from Bangladesh. So, you said after a long time you started listening to IRIB English Radio. Why? in your upcoming emails and letters, tell us why you started listening to this station again. So we are happy that you joined us. As you said, now you've resumed listening to IRIB English radio programs, and many thanks for reflecting your views. As you said, you love to listen to IRIB English radio programs. So you are collecting news about Bangladesh. It seems that you collect them from different websites and different radio programs, different news programs. So it helps you get you updated and improve your knowledge. That's great. So you requested the program's schedule. Then I suggest you to refer to our website at www.parsoday.com/en, and there you can find the program schedule of IRIB English Radio. And you said you have different hobbies, among them radio listening and collecting postcards. Great. And you've requested souvenirs or promotional items such as QSL cards. And as I have described in the previous emails and in the introduction of the programs, my colleagues have prepared eQSL cards. Yes, IRIB English Radio used to send listeners QSL cards, but because of coronavirus and the hygienic protocols, now my colleagues are sending you eQSL cards. And, of course, in the near future, we will send our dear listeners promotional items and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, such as postcards. Many thanks, Ali Hassan from Bangladesh, for sending us this email. Write to us very soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Please stay with us. Dear listeners, here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.parstoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion,
art, etc. You wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
A new report shows that the intensification of conflicts and extreme weather-related disasters drove the total number of people living in internal displacement to an all-time high of 55 million by the end of last year. We have prepared an article for you in this regard, written by Kenny Stencil Ryder. This article is published under the heading "As Climate Crisis and Violence Converge, Internal Displacement Hit Global Record High of 55 Million in 2020. Here's more on that. A new report shows that the intensification of conflicts and extreme weather-related disasters drove the total number of people living in internal displacement to an all-time high of 55 million by the end of last year. For many of us, 2020 was a year of lockdowns and travel restrictions, said Jan Egeland, Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council, NRC, referring to public health measures aimed at curbing the spread of COVID-19. But not so far for the millions who fled their lives because of conflict, violence, and disasters, he added. Last year alone, escalating violence and an abundance of disasters exacerbated by the climate emergency crisis that are related and often intersect displaced 40.5 million people within 149 countries and territories, the highest annual figure recorded in a decade. In fact, one person per second was uprooted within their country last year. According to the latest global analysis of internally displaced people published by the Internal Displacement Monitoring Center, IDMC, and the NRC. In contrast to refugees who cross national borders, internally displaced people, or IDPs, remain in their country of origin after being forced to flee their homes. With approximately 26 million refugees around the globe, IDPs now outnumber refugees by a ratio of more than 2 to 1. Egeland called the report's findings shocking. We are failing to protect the world's most vulnerable people from conflict and disasters, he said in a statement. The number of people living in internal displacement throughout the world had been steadily increasing for more than a decade before it reached a record high of 55 million at the end of last year. The report explained about three-quarters of the 40.5 million people who were uprooted in 2020 were the victims of disasters in which pre-existing patterns of inequality and vulnerability interacted with environmental hazards, while 2% of disasters were triggered by geophysical factors such as earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. 98% were weather-related disasters, cyclones, hurricanes, typhoons, floods, wildfires, landslides, heat waves, and drought that climate experts say are increasing in intensity and frequency as a result of rising temperatures. For instance, when Cyclone Amphan hit highly exposed and densely populated areas in South Asia, it triggered 5 million new displacements across Bangladesh, Bhutan, India, and Myanmar. The Atlantic hurricane season, meanwhile, was the most active on record and included hurricanes Iota and Eta, which battered a dozen Central American and Caribbean countries, the report pointed out. Furthermore, extended rainy seasons across the West Asia region and sub-Saharan Africa uprooted millions more. Today's crises arise from many interconnected stressors, which include climatic changes, but also chronic poverty and inequality, political instability and exclusion, said Alexandra Bilek, director of the IDMC. In addition to disaster-induced displacement, the report noted that almost 10 million of last year's new IDPs were fleeing various forms of conflict, including wars, political repression, and violent crime. As the report stated, most new displacements triggered by conflict and violence in 2020 were recorded in sub-Saharan Africa and the West Asia region and North Africa. Displacement crises were particularly severe in Ethiopia, Mozambique, and Burkina Faso in 2020 due to the expansion of extremist groups, according to the report. Moreover, long-standing conflicts in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Syria, and Afghanistan also forced millions to flee. Where conflicts and disasters converged, people were displaced for a second or even third time, increasing and prolonging their vulnerability, the report stated. Many of those who fled flooding in Yemen, for example, had already been uprooted at least once by conflict. In light of the fact that 95% of last year's conflict-related displacements occurred in countries with high or very high vulnerability to the climate crisis, Raouf Mazou, Assistant Secretary General of the UN Refugee Agency, stressed the need for closer analysis of the overlaps between disaster and conflict-induced displacement. Although disaster-driven displacement can become protracted, people often return to their damaged communities in the wake of a storm in order to rebuild. Conflict-fueled displacement, on the other hand, tends to last for years. That dynamic helps explain why, even after a year in which disasters caused three times as much internal displacement as conflict, the overwhelming majority of IDPs at the end of the year were the victims of violence. Of the 55 million IDPs across the world at the end of 2020, the report said that 48 million had fled violence in 59 countries and territories. Meanwhile, although the report acknowledged that it should be considered an underestimate, at least 7 million of the world's IDPs had been uprooted by disasters in 104 countries and territories. "I cannot continue like this," said Egeland. "We have to do something with the root causes of displacement." You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies: shortwave, 41 meters, 7410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the very beautiful tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in which he defines for us, or mentions to us rather, the battalions and the military components, if you like to say, of the intellect and that of ignorance, the aql and jahal, we have reached the 22nd section. Now, section number 22 and 23 might seem familiar or might seem similar, but the word that the Imam alayhi salam uses clearly indicate there is a difference between the two battalions. Obviously, the Imam is mentioning different types of battalions, and obviously we understand that it is different by its opposite. For in logic we learn that one of the way to define something is by understanding the opposite of that particular thing. So in this one, the 22nd, the Imam mentions what is known as istislam, which can roughly be explained as the apparent submission and the following of religion in an apparent manner. So a person understands that religion is correct. Religion may not have penetrated his heart, and this is what we understand from the next segment. And this is very clear in the Holy Quran as well, where there is a difference between a Muslim and a mu'min in terms of not only the definition, but also in terms of the acts and the belief that they have, in terms of the strength and weakness of it. So here are some of the insightful scholars have, defined the word istislam, especially in connection with the following segment, which is the 23rd segment, which we will come to hopefully inshallah, in meaning that a person, understands that yes, there is a need for religion, and religion is that so-called factor that guides a person towards the right path. It may not have penetrated his heart deeply, but he follows it and he acts upon it. The opposite, which is istikbar. And this is where a person may understand that no, religion is right. There is a need for religion, but he purposefully does not submit to it. He does not even, in the apparent manner submit to it, even though he knows that it is needed, even though he knows it might be correct, but he does not submit to it. He intentionally goes against it. For example, a person who has apparent belief knows that he must pray. Yes, he might not understand prayer, he might not even pray with the full concentration, but he prays. On the other side, a person knowing that he must pray completely rejects it and is haughty and is spiteful. He has contempt for this belief, and he's like, no, I will not follow it in the slightest. We ask Allah subhanahu